WildTalkRadio.com.
Alright, it's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, he's here.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here. He's in it.
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
The road to WrestleMania continues on. So we're about 2 weeks away from the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which means they had to get the entire show set up tonight. This is the Raw Post Show presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward.
We're here. We're live. It's Monday night, and we are on the road to Elimination Chamber.
Before we get into the chamber stuff that took place, we had on commentary Mustafa Ali, as Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods took on T-Bar and Slapjack, and all Mustafa Ali did was complain about his men not winning. All he did was complain about how he had to beg and sell his soul just to get this match to take place on Raw. It was a little dramatic. Kofi and Woods won, and then he berated his men. He berated them repeatedly, and okay, retribution's a thing. Give us Reckoning versus Woods next week when she's healthy, please. That would be the interesting thing for this story. Without it, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean...
Or give me Woods and Mustafa. Or not Woods and Mustafa, Kofi and Mustafa.
I don't know, I also feel like, I don't know why, but... they're almost setting, like, up this term between Kofi and Woods. Like, that's just... I know it's not going to happen because it's Kofi and Woods, but you just never know at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I just... I don't know.
Because I feel like... and I know at this point, Retribution is kind of a joke, and so people don't really take it that seriously, but I feel like Mustafa maybe needs to successfully, like, recruit somebody. And out of New Day, like, Woods kind of has gotten the least opportunity, but also the most opportunity. It's weird because he has, like, Up Up Down Down, and so he's gotten a lot of stuff out of Up Up Down Down because of WWE and on his own, but like he's not really gotten any solo title opportunities as a result of New Day or anything that he's done with Up Up Down Down versus Kofi, who got the title shot at WrestleMania and was champion for almost a year. Big E, who's off on his own and is currently IC champion and is probably being targeted for a heavyweight title at some point either this year or early next year. So like Wood, and then there's just Woods, right? He's just here he is. He's a multi-time tag team champion, but he hasn't really won, I think, any solo titles on his own. So I could see how maybe Xavier looks at Kofi and he's like, you know what? Y'all are holding me back.
That'd be great if Retribution actually did stuff.
I understand that, and that's like the key crux of that entire situation is they would actually have to do stuff and WWE would actually have to like care about them. But it could be a thing. I don't know.
So after getting his ass kicked by Bobby Lashley, Riddle decided to spend the week watching every single Air Bud movie. And he was talking to Keith Lee about it, and Lee brought up how he wants a shot at the U.S. title, and the two friends had a match with Keith Lee winning. They had a sign of respect, and then Bobby Lashley decided to attack.
What the hell happened to Matt Riddle's face?
He got punched in the face, apparently, by Lashley. That's
like,
what he
damn.
Got, yeah. It was told that we're getting a triple threat match for the U.S. title at Elimination Chamber. That should be interesting.
Should be interesting. I'm curious to see how that goes.
Bianca Belair said she's still trying to figure out who she's going to challenge, and she and Asuka had a little bit of an exchange, but she more hyped up how no one's ready for Asuka Elimination Chamber. But if she wins at the Elimination Chamber, well, then Bianca may be on Raw more.
I like how they're not setting. I'll say this. Let's just go ahead and talk about Edge before I say this.
So Edge was on Monday Night Raw. He talked about how it's been a long week and it was the dilemma. Who should fight? Go to Raw, stay on Raw, go to NXT, go to SmackDown. Who should he fight? His decision, well, it kind of is up in the air because Drew McIntyre, which we have to, before we get to that, have to go all the way back to the beginning of the show, which had Shane McMahon come out with Adam Pearce and announce that we have a Elimination Chamber match featuring 5 former world champions. It was cool to see Shane back. He was winded in his entrance.
Shane, I don't understand how Shane looks like great every time he shows up, like, and somehow he looks better every time he shows up,
but,
so...
But he has no cardio.
He has no cardio, and that's fine, because he looks okay. But yeah, so they set up the match for Elimination Chamber, which, okay, alright, that explains why a couple other things didn't happen tonight. They're keeping it on the down low with the Wyatt stuff. They're maybe backing off a little bit till after Chamber with that. So I don't expect to see Bray Wyatt before Elimination Chamber, or really Alexa mess with Randy Orton too much before Elimination Chamber. But yeah.
Go ahead.
Going back to Edge.
So let me finish up the Edge stuff. Edge, then, you know, says Drew has a challenge ahead of him. He knows Reigns is Universal Champion, Finn Balor is NXT Champion, but the Elimination Chamber is a brutal match. He doesn't know who's going to be champion after the Elimination Chamber. So... he's going to wait. He's going to wait to make his decision after the Elimination Chamber. This brought out Miz, Morrison, and Angel Garza. Miz said Edge is the ultimate opportunity where he strategized. Miz said that if Edge's grand plan leads to winning a championship WrestleMania, then he would be there and cash in his Money in the Bank, beat Edge, and leave WrestleMania as champion. Edge said he's the guy who put the Money in the Bank briefcase on his back. He said that he knows he needs his eyes in the back of his head. The moment he wins the championship, but Miz gave him a reminder. Edge said Miz needs to worry about the Chamber, Damian Priest, and even Bad Bunny. Stop there. Go.
So I like how they're having the Rumble winners hold off until after Chamber, because then it puts that somewhat in question of, well, is Drew actually going to stay champion? Is Asuka actually going to stay champion? Is Sasha actually going to hold on to the title? You know, is Roman going to hold on to the title? What about Finn? Everything going down in NXT, you know, with EO and everything. Like, could that all be in flux? We don't know. Like, I like that they're keeping people guessing, because now it's like, it's not the automatic, especially with Drew being in the chamber, that, well, Edge announces, for example, he's going for Roman. Well, then that's automatic that basically it's going to forecast that Drew wins the chamber. And then you have to set up whoever Drew is facing at WrestleMania.
So the night after Raw, or the SmackDown after Raw, or SmackDown after Chamber, I should say, or the big shows to watch.
Yeah, because that's when they're going to set up WrestleMania. They have Fastlane in between, but Fastlane's probably just going to be a rehash of Elimination Chamber just to get them through. But well, yeah,
Fastlane is the trial event on Peacock.
Yeah, which means... Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Fastlane isn't, like, NXT heavy.
No, you'll probably get... That'll probably be where you get Drew and Sheamus and other things like that. Slow builds of things that'll lead into whatever's happening in Mania.
Yeah, but the point is, I like how they're not having the Rumble winners declare just yet, that they're having them wait, because you made a good point when we were talking about it. Technically, the Rumble winners can wait till the day of the show if they want to say, hey, I'm going to fight X at WrestleMania. Because I think they have up until WrestleMania to decide.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even they could decide on the show if they wanted to. Like, Edge could just dick around with it and have Drew and Roman and Lux. You're like, you know what? I want to take on Roman. And now Roman's gotta get ready. And you find out, you kind of test people's mettle that way. So it's an interesting thing for them to do, and I like it, but you'll probably see Edge declare
in 2 weeks, yeah.
But it's a good little tease in the meantime.
We had a tables match. Lana beating Nia Jax by putting her through the table.
She pushed her through a table. I mean, you know, okay, alright, go Lana.
Shayna then beat up Lana. Naomi came to the save. Then that led to Naomi and Shayna. And Naomi got the win over Shayna.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that.
So, circling all the way back to the start of the show, AJ Styles interrupted Adam Pearce and talked about the chain match and how he's doing an amazing job and then, you know, and all that fun stuff. And he also said he thought Pearce is a dumbass. But that's only between the two of them. But then it led to AJ and Jeff Hardy. AJ getting the win. Good match.
Yeah, this was really good. It was very entertaining. You had Omos play a factor, which is good. I like the little moment between Shane and Omos as AJ was coming out, where Shane's like, sup, remember me? I used to be your boss. Mm-hmm. And Omos is like, hi, this is awkward.
Right. Sheamus was not happy with Adam Pearce.
A lot of people aren't happy with Adam Pearce right now.
Neither was Drew. But because they won the one-on-one match, and now it's a chamber match. Because it's the biggest match possible.
What? Go big or go home, I guess? I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. That's where we are.
Look, it's going to set things up for Mania, okay, guys? And we may or may not get a murder in it. I don't know yet. We'll see if we get a fiend.
So your main event on Monday Night Raw featured Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre one more time with no winner, as Sheamus interfered at the very end with the Claymore kick.
They pushed that finish to the very last second, almost quite literally. Like, it was like 11:59, and they had not sent them home yet. And it's like, anytime, guys! Anytime! We gotta do a show on this! So, you know, whenever you're ready, at your leisure. And then, boom! Out of nowhere, Sheamus just kicks Drew McIntyre, or kicks Randy Orton in the face, and then Drew kicks Sheamus in the face. Because Drew's like, God damn it.
So, for the record, it's Miz, Sheamus, Drew, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, and Randy Orton in the chamber for the title.
Now, here's an interesting theory. And we can save it for when we preview chamber. But I just want to throw this out there. Stealing your idea from Rumble. Say Randy Orton doesn't make it to the chamber. Say Randy Orton gets taken out of the chamber by a mysterious force. And somehow magically we get a funhouse match.
We definitely could.
Like, because Randy could just be eliminated just because Bray Wyatt kidnaps him. By using the magic. Fairies or fairy magics or whatever you want to call it. Or you could have Randy just get eliminated, or you could have Bray Wyatt cost Randy the match, and that leads to either Fastlane or WrestleMania. Because I'm sitting here thinking about it, and it's like in terms of the cinematics and the way that they're going to do it.
You could do the, not to preview, but you could do the funhouse at Fastlane leading to an actual match.
At Mania. Because, yeah, you're not going to be able to get away with a cinematic match at WrestleMania this year. You just, especially with them starting to bring the fans back in.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
You're not going to do it. So it's like you really have only a couple more shots, potentially, at having a cinematic match between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. If you're going to do it, they may not do it. But it plays to Bray's advantage really, really well, and I would love to see them tell, like, the full story in cinematic format between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, because really, the entire Bray Wyatt character exists more or less because of Randy Orton, because of what Randy did to a specific other individual that shall remain nameless. Husky Harris, in case anybody's wondering, where he got punted in the head and got sent back down to FCW and was never seen or heard from again. So I would love for them to go back and tell that history.
Mm-hmm. So we have one other thing to talk about tonight. Your favorite story. Ric Flair and Lacey Evans come to the ring.
I need to speak to a manager about that suit.
Ric Flair said people want an explanation for why he wants to be back in the main lining.
I want an explanation on those fashion choices. What the hell, Ric?
Flair says he doesn't take orders from any woman. He told the fans
to check
out his history. He says he especially wouldn't take orders from his daughter. Ric says, talk about how his daughter didn't need him, but he needed a little of himself. He said, Lacey Evans is a star who just needs a little motivation and wisdom. Rick and Lacey are having a casual relationship. Rick said Evans would be the next Raw Women's Champion. Evans thinks Rick is quite cute, but she gives him the respect he deserves, unlike his ungrateful daughter. Lacey said Charlotte is a fool for turning away the greatest sports entertainer of all time. This brought out Charlotte. Charlotte said if Evans wanted to really learn, she would take her ass to the WWE Performance Center and work her ass off. Charlotte asked if he wanted to walk out and validate him. She said she never said she didn't want his help. Charlotte said Rick is surrounded by yes people and she tried to manage the family legacy. Evans said she wasn't there to take Charlotte's place. She just wanted to listen and learn from Rick. Lacey asked why they couldn't work together. She said she'd be a better partner than that nasty animal, Asuka. Charlotte said she's been trying to prove to her father and the fans that she can do it on her own. She called Lacey Charlotte 2.0 and then told her that she already has a tag team partner. Lacey said it's okay because she's focused on the Raw Women's Championship and said to confirm that in the next match, if she beats Charlotte, she gets a shot at the title. Charlotte wants the match. Rick says no and Evans takes a chair shot and accepts the match. So we have Charlotte and Lacey 1-on-1. Lacey gets the win and is headed to a chamber to fight for the title because Charlotte kicked too much ass.
She should have kicked her father in the face. I know he's like 70-something, but she should have kicked him in the face. That might have, like, freed up the Botox that was in his cheeks. Because, I'm sorry, alright, I don't like doing this to people. I really don't like calling people out like this, but I'm going to fucking do it anyway because I can. Rick, honey, what the hell is going on? Just what? The suit choice? The collar? Like, he's... The collar was way too tight with his face because, like, he's standing there cutting the foot promo and he's doing what he does best, which he's getting really, really red in the face, but his collar was so tight that it literally looked like his head was going to pop off his body like a bottle rocket. And then on top of that, his face was not moving. I'm not sure if he got Botox today or if he got it, like, yesterday and it just hasn't freed up yet or, like, what's going on there. But, like, dude had so much going on with his face in the sense that it didn't look like him anymore. Like, it did not look like Ric Flair at all. It's like, who is this dude? Kind of looks like Ric Flair, but not really. So I'm not sure what all was going on there, but it just did not leave the best impression, and maybe that was intentional. But, like, this whole, I just want to rant on this whole thing. Because, one, you wait until we're, like, a month or 6 weeks into this feud between the two to explain why Rick turned on his daughter. Like, you didn't do it the night that he turned. You waited, or the day, like, the next show after he turned. Oh no, you wait till, like, a month later because everybody thinks that Ric Flair is banging Lacey Evans to try and screw over his daughter. So it's no, Charlotte's ungrateful. Charlotte's this, Charlotte's that. I wanted somebody who's gonna listen to me. I think we're all fairly sure that, like, Charlotte is paying Rick's bills right now. So, and I don't mean that to be mean. That sounded really mean, but I did not mean that to be mean. But just in, like, knowing what you know, it's like, I think she's good, dude. Like, I think she's really, really good. So can we just stop with this storyline? Like, if you want to have Rick mentor Lacey, that's fine. And the way that you do that is you build up to Lacey going for Charlotte, and then it puts Rick in that really awkward situation. And Rick's like, well, you don't need me, so I'm going to go with her, which creates tension in the family.
Maybe.
I don't know. I have a vehement, like, dislike of this storyline, and I very much wish it would go away. Like, I understand what they are trying to do. They're trying to make Lacey Evans, and they're trying to use Ric Flair and Charlotte to do it, which I respect, but it just is so, to me, poor. Like, the storytelling in it is so poorly done that it just makes Lacey look stupid, because what it makes her look like is she's just literally banging Ric Flair to get at Charlotte, and that's not what this should be at all, especially with, like, the body language and the way that they're, like, acting with each other. He's like, no, she shouldn't be all up, like, on him and rubbing on him and everything like that. It should be very much more like a mentor student type relationship, and that's not what they're demonstrating at all.
So with that, that's Monday Night Raw.
Sorry, I didn't mean to, like, go there with it, but I just went there with it.
Thursday night, we are previewing NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day.
Woo!
I thought you were going to say more.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we're previewing NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day. We'll also have news notes. And obviously, we're talking NXT, so you don't have to worry about that not being on the show. But you will have the return of Tweet of the Week, the return of news, all your favorites. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
And make sure you tune in to the beginning of the show, because we have a fancy new thing, and you can see it on your screen now as a teaser.
Rock worked really, really hard on it, so, you know, you gotta tune in to see it, even though it's, like, right there.
It's right there, but you make sure you tune in. Here's the
it's
teaser.
Very fancy.
It's very fancy. Anyway, that's Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rock is, CP Radio is live Saturday night, midnight-ish, for at CPRadioLive.com. I'm losing my voice, can you tell? CBRadioLive.com, GrayTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday at The Rack, Extra is live following NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day. I want to say Vengeful Day, but Vengeance Day. So join me, Lindsay, and Brent following the show. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKSTOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD.
This has been the Raw Post Show. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack. And right back here for the Wild Punch Show every Monday night, long day away from Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.